This hearing of the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee will now come to order. It is now 1:30 p.m. Thursday, March 9th, 2023 in Belts 105. Members present are Senator Gray Jackson, Senator Giesel, and myself, Chair Dunbar. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business. Please take this time to silence your cell phones for the duration of the meeting. Before we begin, I would like to thank Juliana Singh, the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Recording Secretary, and Jake Wade from the Juno LIO for staffing the committee today. We have two items of business on our agenda today. First, final discussion and looking to the will of the committee on SB 16, Alaska Community Health and Aid Appreciation Day by Senator Kawasaki. Second, an introductory hearing on SB 23, Law Enforcement Registry Use of Force by Senator Gray Jackson. Do any committee members have any questions before we begin? Okay, so on SB 16, to recap, we had an initial hearing by Senator Kawasaki on March 2nd, 2023. We received additional documents for SB 16 since the last meeting. They've been uploaded to BASIS, and physical copies have been provided to committee members on their desk. We received no amendments. It is my intent to look to the will of the committee and take action on the bill. Before we do, would the sponsor of the bill like to offer any additional comments? Okay, seeing no additional comments from Senator Kawasaki. With that, I would like to entertain a motion to move the bill from committee.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 16, Work Order 33, LS0182/A-alpha, from committee with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal note.
Thank you, Senator Giesel. Is there any objection? Seeing none, SB 16 passes from committee. We will now go to a brief at ease while members sign the committee report. For our second and final order of business today, we are going to have an introductory hearing on SB 23, Law Enforcement Registry Use of Force by Senator Gray Jackson. We will hear an introduction on the bill from the sponsor, go over the sectional analysis, have committee discussions, then hear from public testimony. We have the following individuals available for questions, I believe. Lisa Purinton, legislative liaison from the Department of Public Safety. Joseph Gamache from the Alaska Police Standards Council, Department of Public Safety. Are they here today? Let me see. Check the phone here. And yes, there he is on the phone. Thank you. And then April Wilkerson, Deputy Commissioner, Department of Corrections, and she is also here today. In the interest of time, I would like members to hold their questions until the end of the presentation. Any objection to that? Okay. Senator Gray Jackson, already here, would you please put yourself on the record and introduce your bill?
This is Senator L.V. Gray Jackson. I'm here with my staffer, Harlan Andrew. I'd first like to thank you, Mr. Chairman, and the rest of the committee for hearing my bill today. I want to also thank the hardworking peace officers and office staff who provide the services that protect the lives and welfare of the people within Alaska's communities. Thank you all for your service. Casualties surrounding civilians across the country and, unfortunately, within Alaska has drawn even greater attention to issues around policing and police-to-community relationships. This moment seems to have created real momentum to address one of the longest standing injustices within society. In 2020, my office, along with Senator Begich's office, we worked together to develop a series of bills. These bills were drafted by Legislative Legal as a bill packet that our offices refer to as TPIP, Turning Pain into Progress. TPIP was crafted after the National 8 Can't Wait campaign, which is 8 specific policies that have proven, with data, to reduce police violence by as much as 72% when implemented. We recognize that the national campaign can and it shouldn't be applied to a place as unique as Alaska. Therefore, a great deal of time was spent talking to stakeholders and gaining input throughout the process of drafting these bills to ensure that the proposals would be fitting for Alaska. We engaged public safety agencies to include the Anchorage Police Department, the Anchorage Police Employees Association, Public Safety Employees Association, and the National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executives during this process. Because of a proactive approach, we were confident in moving forward with the implementation of public safety policy changes that will benefit both citizens of Alaska, and our law enforcement officers. During the second session of the 32nd legislature, Senate Bill 7 requiring the Department of Public Safety to publish certain policies and procedures on their website. It was signed into law on July 28, 2022. Of the six bills presented, I was honored to see that one move forward. During this session, I introduced two of the remaining five, of which one, SB 23, requiring a use of force registry, is being presented today, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 23 establishes a use of force database under AS 4441055 that will be overseen by the Department of Public Safety, which will collect reports of use of force by municipal police officer, municipal correctional facility employee, probation officer, parole officer, correctional officer, state trooper, village public safety officer, or regional officer. This report will be submitted by the Department of Public Safety under AS 4441020H. The Alaska Police Standards Council shall maintain a central registry with information that the Council obtained from the Department of Public Safety, the Department of Corrections, or a municipality. The bill also requires the Alaska Police Standards Council to adopt regulations that require a police officer, probation officer, parole officer, municipal officer, or correctional officer to report to a supervisor when an incident of force or deadly force occurred, or in a situation in which an officer was prepared to use deadly force. This report will also include demographic information such as the person to whom the force was used, age, gender identity, and sexual orientation, if freely given by the individual. Additionally, it will include the officer who used the force in the barrel or census area in which the use of force occurred. Currently, there is no database that tracks instances of use of force within the state of Alaska. While this database will not be open to the public, it will be shared for employment purposes amongst departments and agencies who may be hiring an officer or employee, as well as the Alaska State Legislature. This will allow for transparency among agencies and will close loopholes that allow officers to be hired to another agency after being fired or for use of force incident or certificate denial or revocation. Harlan Andrew will now go with the sectional analysis, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Ms. Andrew. Will you please put yourself on the record and we can go through the sectional.
For the record, my name is Harlan Andrew, staff for Senator Gray Jackson, and I will be going over the sectional analysis. Section 1, Alaska Statute 1865-220 is amended by adding new subsections B, which will require police officer, probation officer, parole officer, municipal correctional officer, or correctional officer to report to a supervisor when another officer used or prepared to use deadly force against a person. C requires that the council shall maintain a central registry of denied or revoked officer certificates. D requires that the council shall adopt and prepare a report detailing the registry information to the chief clerk of the House of Representatives and the Senate Secretary no later than December 1st of each year. E states that upon request, the council shall assist a department, an agency, or municipality in developing rules that comply with regulations adopted under B of this section. Section 2, Alaska Statute 1865-285 is amended to replace the word may with shall. Section 3, Alaska Statute 1865-290B is amended to define municipal correctional officer. Section 4, Alaska Statute 1865-290 is amended to add deadly force has the meaning given in Alaska Statute 1181-900B. Section 5, Alaska Statute 1865-670C is amended to provide training in the subject set out in 1865-220A3. Section 6 amends Alaska Statute 2971 by adding a new section, Alaska Statute 2971070, Use of Force Reporting Requirement. Section 7 amends Alaska Statute 4428020 by adding a new subsection D that requires the Department of Public Safety to submit a report on each incident in which a probation officer, parole officer, or a correctional officer uses force against a person The report must include information required under Alaska Statute 4441055B. Section 8 amends Alaska Statute 4441020 by adding a new subsection to read, "The Department of Public Safety shall submit to the statewide use of force database each time a state trooper, VPSO, or regional public safety officer uses force against a person." Section 9, Alaska Statute 4441055 is amended by a new section to establish a statewide use of force database and its requirements. Section 10, Alaska Statute 1865280B is repealed. Section 11, the uncodified law of the state of Alaska is amended by adding a new section that applies to the employment contracts entered on or after the effective date of Section 2 of this Act. Section 12 amends the uncodified law of the state of Alaska by adding a new section pertaining to transition, employment, peace officers, giving them an effective date of Section 10 of this Act to comply with Alaska Statute 1865240 requirements. Section 13, amended by adding a new section regarding regulations of the Department of Corrections, the Department of Public Safety, and municipalities that employ a person as a police officer or in a municipality correctional facility to adopt and publish regulations. Section 14, Section 13 provides for an effective date under Alaska Statute 01100070C. Section 15 provides for an effective date, and this concludes this sectional analysis.
Thank you, Ms. Andrew. We'll now move on to questions from the committee. Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You have some misnumbering in your sectional, and I think I'll just suggest and let you go back and look at, you left out 1865-676 small a, which should have been section 6. There are 16 sections to the bill, and your sectional only records 15. So you might go back and just double check that before you move on with the sectional.
Thank you, Senator Giesel. We did stop at 15 on the sectional analysis, but if I can, section 16 says, except as provided in Section 15 of this Act, this Act shall take effect July 1st, 2023.
I think that's Senator Giesel.
Thank you. And the missing section was Section 6, amending AS 1865-676A-alpha. It wasn't in the sectional. So it just needs to be added there.
If I may, through the chair.
Senator Gray-Jackson.
Thank you. Senator Giesel, thank you for noticing that, and we'll have that corrected. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. It was nice and short so I could follow.
Right? Very good. So a sort of substantive question. I think you said this is not intended to be public. This is private. To what degree are these subject to a public records request or a FOIA? Can you outline that a little bit?
I can try. But right now, the FBI has a use of force registry. And I thought at one point the Department of Public Safety was already reporting their use of force or information to the FBI. But as far as what part is – in reference to your question, I think that somebody's online that can probably answer that better than I can. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Gray Jackson. Perhaps Mr. Is it? I'm sure I'm right. Gamache? Am I pronouncing Gamache? Gamache?
Hello, this is Joseph Gamache.
Hello, Director. Did you hear my question to Senator Gray Jackson?
It was a little bit broken. If you could repeat it, please.
I'm wondering, these are not intended to be public. To what degree are they subject to a FOIA request, any of these kind of records?
To the chair, for the record, this is Joseph Gamache, Executive Director of the Alaska Police Standards Council, and we do get FOIA requests quite often, and per regulations, state regulations, we'll release what we can. So it would depend on the individual request and what they're looking for.
Okay. All right. Let's see here. Other questions about this? You know, I think we will now move on to public testimony, and perhaps there will be some more questions raised by that. We have in the room, I believe we have Mr. Morgan Lim. So, actually, he's doing the bank account. Public testimony on this bill. And then we'll have Mr. Lim, you want to testify?
Thank you, Chair Dunbar and members of the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee. For the record, my name is Morgan Lim. I'm a Juneau resident. And today I'm testifying on behalf of Planned Parenthood Alliance Advocates Alaska. PPAA strongly supports Senate Bill 23, a bill that takes a first step toward ensuring accountability against police violence by creating a statewide use of force report. PPAA believes all people should live free from violence and stands with Black, Indigenous, people of color communities as they demand change and seek to create communities that are safe and sustainable. To truly achieve reproductive justice, all people must not only have the right to choose if and when to become parents, but also the right to raise their children in a safe and healthy environment. It is the same over-policing of and violence towards Black and Indigenous bodies and their communities that makes that promise of reproductive freedom unattainable. As our state and country continue to grapple with police brutality, SB 23 takes a step in the right direction towards reducing police use of force. According to the Mapping Police Violence database, Alaska is tragically home to the second highest rate of police killings in the country and has the second highest rate of police violence against Black and Indigenous people. About 1 in 3 people killed by the police is an Alaska Native person, and a Black person in Alaska is 3.3 times more likely to be killed by police as a white person. Additionally, the rates of incarceration in Alaska have grown dramatically in the last several decades, with Black and American Indian and Alaska Native people being incarcerated at 4 to 5 times the rate of white people in Alaska. Approximately 40% of people incarcerated in Alaska identify as American Indian and Alaska Native people, despite only making up about 15% of the state's population. Similarly, 7% of those who are incarcerated were Black people, despite only constituting 3% of Alaska's population. This over-policing of BIPOC communities, the criminalization of BIPOC people, and police violence imposes significant transgenerational trauma, directly harming the health of these families and their descendants. We all deserve to live in a world where we are equally protected and have accesses to the resources we need to be healthy, safe, and free from harm. PPAA thanks you for the opportunity to testify on this important piece of legislation, and we urge the committee to move it forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lim. We will now go, actually, is there anyone else in the room who would like to testify on this bill? All right, seeing no one, we will go to the phones. We have Mr. Michael Patterson. Mr. Patterson, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
If you could please identify yourself for the record, and you will have 2 minutes.
For the record, my name is Michael Patterson. I'm calling on behalf of the Party for Socialism and Liberation Anchorage. I'm obviously calling from Anchorage. Thank you to the chair and the committee for hearing me out today. So PSL Anchorage, we support SB 23. As the previous testifier spoke, we think this is a good step in the right direction, but just a first step in the right direction. It is a little disappointing that this information is not going to be published because the last 3 years of organizing for transparency and accountability in Anchorage has really demonstrated to PSL Anchorage that there is an active resistance from law enforcement agencies to be held accountable and to be more transparent. A really great example of that is the killing of Bashar Hassan, whose the footage of his death, of his killing was on a police dash cam, and the only reason why the public got that footage was because the family's attorney released that to the press, and in a court document, the municipality of Anchorage admitted that if they knew that that footage would have been released to the public, they never would have given that footage to the family in the first place. And so we, once again, you know, we believe that SB 23 is a step in the right direction. We really appreciate Senator Gray Jackson's commitment over the years to making sure that there's more transparency and accountability from law enforcement in the state, and that, you know, we urge the committee to move this bill out of committee so it can get along with this process. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Patterson. All right, I'm not seeing anyone else on the phone. So with that, I intend to hold public testimony open. We'll move on from today. We will hold this bill over for further consideration. An amendment deadline will be set at a later date. If any members are working on amendments, please let our office know as soon as possible. So with that, do you want to rejoin us, Senator Gray Jackson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any closing thoughts or questions from committee members? Okay, not seeing any. Thank you for a productive hearing. The Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee will meet next Thursday, March 16th, 2023 at 1:30. We'll have an introductory hearing on SB 77, Municipal Property Tax Exemption Tax on Blighted Property, by myself, Senator Dunbar. The time is 1:53, and this hearing of the Senate Community Regional Affairs Committee is now adjourned.